Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. It's the 20th of August, 2017. Maybe we should date stamp it every so often. This is the latest news from Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parkes. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hello, JP. Hello, audience. Lovely to be back. Had a few days holiday. Seems odd, doesn't it? I'm taking days off. I'm really glad I did. Really nice weather, and there was a carnival where we went, and there's a firework display, and the Red Arrows flew. That's an aerobatic team in Britain, for those who are not familiar. So I had an extended long weekend, and that was really nice. I don't take enough breaks, so that was great. Right, wanted to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 21st. There's some important things happening tomorrow, and one of them is a meditation that is being organised by Corey Good and others. Some of the Connecting Consciousness members and coordinators have asked me whether they should be involved. Some, I think, have sort of moved to try to set up something already. My concern, and I do have a concern, whenever we do a meditation, then we have to be very clear what we're meditating for and what the intent is. Now, I've not spoken to Corey Good, and I've only got things from a third hand. But my understanding, and I may be wrong, but my understanding is that there's a meditation going out that Corey Good is leading on, which is to connect with off-planet entities and ask them to come in and save us. Now, I hope that I've got that about right. So my view has consistently always been that it is for the human race to basically free itself. It's no harm in getting some help from time to time, but if we are going to meditate and we're going to ask a group of aliens to come in and save us, then we need to be damn sure that this is a group that we can trust. So, you know, I don't know who this off-planet alien group is, and I would very unwilling, and I wouldn't give my permission, I wouldn't give my support to any form of meditation if we were just going to replace one group of overlords with another group. And if people on the planet always have something come in and done for them, then why on earth should they get out of their armchairs and do anything for themselves? The concern, it goes beyond that, because I know from talking to people that have a hand in these things that there is a real effort to bring in a false messiah. Now, I'm not saying that Corey Good is any part of that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that I could see how it could be used on the back of that, where a number of people send out a meditation asking off-planet aliens to come in and save us. And the next thing we know, we get someone turning up on our doorstep saying, I am the new messiah, pray to me, I will save you. And when asked, well, you know, who invited you, then this person could turn around and say, well, you know, you had a group meditation and lots of people, all different walks of life, all asked me to come in and help you. So I wouldn't be happy with anything unless I fully understood who, what, where, and when. And I I haven't had the information to that, so I really don't know. So that, I have concerns over that. The other thing is, of course, that at the moment, Corey Good and a number of other people are in big arguments over a whole range of things, which I've said I don't want to get involved in, and I'm not wanting to get involved in. You know, the dark journalist, there's about five or six different videos out there. I haven't watched any of them, but lots of people have who have spoken to me. And it's just not the right time. I know the 21st can be a very difficult time. There's a lots of things happened on the planet, and I want to talk about child sacrifice and paedophilia a bit later. But I'm not convinced that asking a group of off-planet entities who I have never met to come in and say this is actually the right thing. So I've made my point, and that's where I stand on that. All right, let's talk about another thing. I don't read the comments that people post, not because I'm not bothered. I am bothered, but because as soon as I've done 2 hours on the radio show, I usually go off and, you know, just try and have a rest for a little bit, and then other things come along. But my old coordinator, who was my first UK coordinator, who did an excellent job, she told me that she was having a look the other day, and there were some people there who were complaining, saying that I talk about donations and money too much, and I really shouldn't be talking about money, and I shouldn't be doing it for money, I should be doing it for free. That actually has annoyed me, because do they work for nothing? Do they do stuff for nothing? Do they do it for love? Be nice if we all did it for love. And it's very, very difficult, I think, when somebody says, well, you should be giving your information for free. I do. I give my information for free. And if people didn't donate to me, frankly, I would have to get a day job. And then I know that the employers, my bosses at the day job, would say, you've got to stop your radio show because it's bringing us into disrepute. Either that or we'll sack you. So one of the reasons I don't have a day job is because nobody can tell me what radio shows I can do and what radio shows I can't do. If it wasn't for donations, you know, and Kerry Cassidy is the same. She survives on donations. JP is the same. You know, it is the goodwill of humanity. People who don't really want to do what I do or JP does or Kerry does, but actually want to show their support, so they give a donation. And in my case, I don't charge for my information. My information is free. And I just rely on the goodwill. So for individuals, and it has annoyed me, doesn't, I don't usually get annoyed, but for someone or some group of people to say, you know, you should be doing it for nothing. Okay, I tell you what, whoever you are, you go and do whatever it is you do and you get nothing for it, and see how you live, you know, how you pay the gas bill, how you pay the electric bill, the utilities, the phone bill, how you pay the taxes, how you know, you just can't. It's just ridiculous. So what I would ask everyone, the reason I'm bringing it up, is if you see comments like that, then don't just sit back. Please just write in and ask them the questions, do they work for nothing? So, you know, let's challenge these people. I would be very surprised if they're just ordinary people. I think they're people who are just out for trouble. So I did want to say that. Now, I want to talk about the terror attacks that we've had. The first one, that was a very serious attack. I'm not saying that as many people died as they said, but certainly there were some very serious incidences. The second attack with the guy who attacked women, that is a copycat attack. That is not orchestrated. That is just literally a one-off. But the other one, the Barcelona attack, there are patterns to that. There are elements to it. And I did put on my website something that was alerted to me. It just follows a pattern. So again, to people, they're using cars, they're using ordinary vehicles to spread terror. They're trying to affect humanity, the decent people on this planet, to, you know, they want them to be too scared to cross a road. Every time a car pulls around a corner, they're thinking, is that car going to run into me or my child? This is what they're trying to do, to distract and to traumatize people. And you've just got to stay strong, please. This is a very small group of absolutely mind-crazed fools, dangerous, but they're still fools, who think that they can manipulate the wider population by doing these horrible things, and it just won't work. So please stay strong and just realize that often what we are shown in the news is not actually what took part. Now, many of you will just say, well, of course I know that, but there are people, remember, who listen to this show and are brand new. They've never perhaps listened to any alternative radio show, and might be mine the first time, or Kerry's, or somebody else, another radio show, or JP puts on, whoever. We always have to remember that new people are joining us all the time. And more people are joining the truth movement. That's better than you know, alternative media. It is the truth movement. More people are joining the truth movement now than ever before. People are turning away in droves from established media. That's why big multinationals like Sky are losing money, because people are moving away from their television, their pay by now view. People are not watching the official news online. They're not buying the traditional old fashioned newspapers, because people have realized that this is just a boring load of rubbish designed to trick them and lie to them and keep them quiet. So en masse, huge numbers of people are moving away, but the establishment, of course, don't want to talk about that. They don't want to tell you there's this great big ball rolling down the mountain and gathering energy. They don't want to happen to talk about that. So it's going very well in terms of the amount of people waking up on the planet. It's actually in the last 3 months has increased dramatically. And the more of these stupid attacks and the way they present them, the more even just ordinary decent people who have never questioned, have never listened to my radio show before, if you actually stop and ask them, they'll say things like, well, something's not right. It doesn't seem right at all. There's something wrong about that. Now, that may not seem much to the rest of us, but that's a huge advancement. Whereas a year ago, these people would have swallowed it lock, stock and barrel. So that's really good. I said to you I had a few days off. I did. I will say that a guy who I've never met before called Sasha Stone came over to visit me and was really nice, and we were on vacation, but he came down to visit and we had a good 3 or 4 or 5 hours in a hotel having a long conversation. The guy has some very, very interesting values which are very similar to mine. We had talks just about every topic we could. It wasn't an interview. It wasn't anything like that. It was a sharing of minds, values and ideas, and passing information to support each other. I said to him, Sasha, I said, I don't know why I haven't met you before. But we both agreed that, you know, source dictates that you meet somebody when you're supposed to meet them. So that was really nice, and I hope that we have more meetings from that. So it was nice for him to come down and find me on holiday where I don't normally reside. So that was good. And I want to talk about the Dow Jones. The Dow Jones has taken a massive hit in relative time since November when President Trump was elected. It's not going to cause a huge rumpus or disaster at the moment, but it was a very significant drop. And the reasons being given for this drop are that investors are beginning to doubt that Donald Trump can make America great again. And over the last 5 or 6 months, I've been saying that one of the drivers for a huge drop in the stock exchange, much bigger than we've seen at the moment, but that's on the cards, is literally the realization that the forces working against Donald Trump are so great that his agenda will be watered down. And therefore, these greedy people who have invested over the top expecting to get a huge return will be disappointed, and that will be the trigger that brings them to pull the money out, which we will see in October. So yes, I'm still going with a situation for October. A number of other people now, extra to who we've normally spoken to, are also talking about that. Interestingly enough, they're worried about gold. They're not sure now. They think gold might be peaking. You know, it's always been a safe haven to go into precious metals, and I suppose it's still a safe haven, but again, people who have got a few thousand pounds or dollars to invest, gold is very good. If you've got hundreds of thousands, you don't necessarily see it as a safe haven. You see it as a way to make profit. So if I put $500,000 into gold, I expect it to do X, Y, or Z. And of course, when it doesn't, then these people sell up their gold, and of course, the price of gold drops. So it's very volatile. I should expect the precious metals market to become more volatile. When the Dow Jones takes a hit, then gold will stabilize. But remember, there's platinum. Silver's not such a good bet because the guys who are controlling the gold market are trying to force down the price of silver. So finally, I want to talk about this paedophilia. There are some new revelations about to hit in terms of big names, organizations that have been involved in, if not directly, then indirectly. And there is a very strong movement afoot to name names and to shine a torch into a very dark place. The question is whether the people who are conducting this investigation will be able to do that and finish that investigation off, or whether, of course, these people who are the evildoers try to silence them. But I wanted to tell you all that if it can happen, then there are going to be some very big revelations. You know, people thought Pizzagate and other things were serious. What is in the pipeline is 10 times worse than that, and it's got to come out. We've got to draw the poison. Ordinary people who are not awake and aware need to be fully aware what has been done. I'm saying their name, but their taxpayers. What's been done by lawmakers, people in the entertainment industry, bankers, all of the usual suspects, but on such a scale and such a level that will shock and absolutely confuse people, because they can cope with this person did that, that person did that. But when you actually have it shown that there is a planned network, and not just mean someone in one apartment and someone in another apartment, I mean someone in a corporation using corporation money to make things happen. So I'm hoping that's going to come out. So that will be very big. Other than that, it's fairly quiet out there. It's still the lull before the storm, and I think that's why people like Corey Good want to do this meditation, because the 21st will be an energy spike day. People who do astronomy stroke astrology are aware of the I said a confluence of stars, which people have asked me, is it really mirroring the final chapter in the New Testament? It is. We are looking at some very interesting confluence of planets and stars, which are playing out some of the end games that we're going to see. It's not the end of the world. Don't let anybody say that to you. That's not the case, but we are seeing something that was foretold 2,000 plus years ago and was reactivated, if you like, with modern, I'd say magic is not the right word, but modern divining methods. And it's sort of a coming of the false prophet, and the choosing whether this person has any say, whether governments approve to them, what's going to happen. So there is some truth in that. So that's what I want to say at the moment. I will say more nearer the time. So thank you, JP. Thank you for everyone listening to that. Let's get on with the questions.
Okay, great. Well, it's again, it's the 20th of August, 2017. Let's keep date stamping this so that this little group who are reproducing. I mean, there's all kinds of YouTube channels that are, you know, Simon Parkes's and things like that, and slightly different words, and they're just full of adverts. So if you're listening to a show, to one of these shows, and it's on, and you're hearing adverts every 5 minutes, then you're not listening to Studio 9 Jam, which is the original, or your official channel, Simon, is...
Well, this is my official channel, but do you mean my official website?
Yeah, well, the there's a YouTube channel that is run by your people, isn't that right?
Well, if people go to simonparks.org, I'm not going to say it out loud because there'll be some form of corruption on the internet. Someone will try and put something up. So if people go to the official website, they'll find it there and they'll find the link there. So if you go to simonparks.org and you go through that portal, then you'd actually find the official site. JP, it's a sign of the times, isn't it, that one person said, well, you're very popular, you know, because they're making money on the back of you. Well, do you know what? I wouldn't have a problem if that money went to schools and hospitals. Oh, yeah. But it isn't. Yeah. It's going to line the pockets of people who do not believe in what I'm saying, do not have an interest in the people, and don't really care, and are just doing it to make money. Now, that's exactly what we're not about. That is not what I stand for. And I don't know whether it's just greed on their part or whether it's them having a final satanic laugh. You know, here I am talking about what I'm talking about, and then you get some advert popping up. Mm. You know, that is not what I'm about. I do not endorse any of that. There's no endorsement for any adverts. I've never done that. I'm not going to be drawn into it. So I reiterate what JP said. Look, if you want to listen to what I have to say and you've got these adverts, then don't give your energy to these people. Go find the official one, and JP always announces that. Go get that. Go find the website. Go listen to Kerry Cassidy. Do whatever you want, but don't engage with people who don't believe in me and they don't believe in you, the audience. So, yeah, okay, JP, thank you.
Right, so shall we get on with the questions here?
Okay.
This is, okay, so people send me emails and messages on Facebook a lot. I'm sorry, Simon, but yeah, I've been, I love you so. But I have many requests. I have been requesting Simon's services since April and fear they're not being received for some unknown reason. Simon, is there an alternative avenue other than your website or email to reach you? Many blessings, Katie. So I get quite a lot of that.
Yeah, Katie, I'm first of all, I do apologize. I'm really sorry. There's just me and one other person. That's it. But that doesn't help your question. What to do, and I'll get everyone doing it now. what to do is send me an email, and in the header, write the word star. STAR, star. Just do that. Right. There is just me. We'll just let the police and the ambulances go by again. I don't want to shout over that. When I gave up the day job and I was a driving teacher and I did what I'm doing now, I did it because my heart called out. I had to do it. I just couldn't sit on this any longer. I had to, I didn't know where it would go. I hadn't a clue. I didn't know whether I'd be absolutely penniless. But I didn't worry about any of that. I just knew I had to be true and I had to do this. When I did that, and offered the services that I offered, I had no clue how desperate the world was in many ways. In other words, there was a vacuum. And I'm not the only person who can do this, but most people who can do what I do don't do it, and I fully understand why. There are too many people that disappear. Too many suicides, too many people that are threatened, etc., etc. And the deluge that I got just totally shocked me. I didn't realize there was such a need. I knew there was a need, or as the capitalists who stick adverts on my website, on my YouTube channels probably would say, there was a gap in the market. But to me, it was an unmet need. And what's so poignant is there are so many people who need the help. They're perfectly fine people, they're perfectly good, but they've got stuff that they can't handle. They can't handle it because they've never been taught it. The system doesn't want to admit it. You know, if you are a secret intelligence agency and you from the Nazis got the skill, and this is all true, you got the skill to mind fracture somebody so that you could give them an alternate personality, and that alternate personality could be an assassin. So let's say, we won't name an organization, a big organization does this, they send their agents out, the alternate personality takes over that person, assassinates the target, and let's say the ordinary police pick that person up. Probably one chance in a million, but it does happen. So when they stick a lie detector on this person, they come through as clear, because the alternate personality was the one that did the murder, and that then is hidden behind some other form. And when the core, we call that the core, when the original person, for want of a better word, takes a lie detector test, they have no knowledge of it. And this was one of the key technologies that the CIA, and I will mention them, the CIA wanted from Dr. Mengele and some of the Nazi scientists, because they didn't want Russia having agents that they couldn't counter. Now, when you've got that, no longer just the preserve of the intelligence services, but it's now in the entertainment industry, the big corporations in the banking world, in the lawmakers, they are now people, hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people who have been mind fractured, in society. And the official system doesn't want to recognize that, because they don't want your regular doctor curing these people. They don't want that. So they don't teach them about it. They don't show them in medical school. So that's why when many, many people try to get hold of me, they don't. Sometimes deliberately the emails are being withheld, and I've got proof of that. But in many cases, I just get swamped. I may get something like 200, 300 emails a day. And if you write the word star on the top, that is more likely to be detected. So I just need you to understand there's nothing personal here. I'm really sorry. I would like to be in a position, and it's all about money, isn't it? I would like to be in a position where I had a team of people, picking up, a bit like a, you know, big company, picking up all the calls, prioritizing those that really need the help, and then being able to do that. But of course the system doesn't support me. That's the point. It's you, the decent, kind, special, awake and aware people. You're the ones that are supporting me. But what you're doing is you're keeping me going so I can do my work. I don't have the resource to build a team. If one day that happens, this is my pledge to everybody. This is what I would do. I would set up a small, proactive team to deal with it so that people weren't left waiting. And, you know, it's just the way it is. So please just write star in there, and I bet you that will work. Thank you, JP.
Excellent. Thank you for responding to that. Cause like many, everybody says, oh, I tell Simon and he's ignoring me, and what have I done? And it's, oh no, it's nothing to do with that. It's just like, you know, as you say, it's a one horse business. Is it? No, that's a one horse town. Yeah, one man business, right? One man pan. Anyway, this is from, I think the name is Natha or Nata. Anyway, hi guys, it's always a pleasure listening to your show. My question may sound a bit silly, but it's been playing on my mind for a while. When we hear birds singing and people talking, we use our ears to hear them. So, when we talk to ourselves inside our head, what we are using to hear it is not our ears. If it's not our ears, and how are we able to talk without moving our mouth? And lastly, if we can hear our own voices, then why can't we hear other people's voices in their heads? Thank you for your
right.
time.
Right. Actually, it's
a serious question. I mean, it's a really good question.
Right. When you started, I thought, no, this is going to be kooky and off the wall. But actually, as the question developed, it was a perfectly good question, and I understand it now. So yes, it's a bit fun, but there's a very serious point to it. Right. Well, this is what telepathy is about, and this is what secret intelligence agencies look for in children. Most children have this capability, and it's only when the established world teaches what they can and can't believe in, then, you know, that's why children believe in Father Christmas. And then they, you know, that terrible moment when they realize Father Christmas, as they understand it, doesn't exist. It may have existed in their mind, but, you know, not in the world around them. Although, if it existed in their mind, could they create that in the world around them? Right, so when we hear voices in our head, and we're assuming we're not gone mad, or drunk too much liquor, or had a word from God, what we're actually doing is we are creating in our brain the energy imprint. We're not using our vocal cords, but all we're doing is just speaking in our mind. And humans have the capability to do that because we are a very advanced form of being. Whether a cat and a dog can do that, I don't know, but I shouldn't imagine they can. Now, for psychic people or empathic people, they can enter a room and they can sometimes hear what another person is thinking. That's quite unusual, but what's more common is the feeling. So if someone's feeling sad or threatened or ill or very happy, there are empaths that immediately pick up on that. It's nothing to do with body language, it's to do with what's going on in that person's brain and their soul. So when we count from 1 to 12 in our head, we may not hear our own voice, we may not hear the accent of our voice, but we will hear the numbers. And all we're doing is we are energetically, through chemical and electronic responses, making that, and another part of the brain is picking it up. And that's what telepathy is, because what you have to learn to do is to do that and understand that you can project it. Now, there are two forms of projection. One is what we call a scattergun approach, a wide approach. So for those people who are telepathic, they could be in a room of 20 people and they would send the same information and all 20 people will get it at once. And the other is what I call the narrow beam, where you just send the message to one individual. So you might have 20 people in a room, but you would just send the message to one of the chosen people, and the others, it's not that they can't get into that message, it's because it's like a pencil beam, it's very narrow, and unless they go looking for it, they won't find it. So that is the very core of telepathy, the fact that we can hear voices, we can create those in our mind, because if you can create it, you can project it. And like an aerial or a transmitter, if you can transmit, there will be somebody who can receive. Sometimes you get two people together who can just receive or transmit, but you need someone who can both receive and transmit, connecting to someone who can also receive and transmit, and that's when you get your discussions together. And that's why bright and able gifted children are identified in school in America and Great Britain and in Russia, and then go into secret programs, and sometimes their own parents are not aware that the military or the intelligence agencies are actually working with their kids. Sometimes the parents are not even aware of it, and those kids are probably up to the ages of about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then after that they're out of the program, because by then they generally, most of them have lost the psychic capabilities. It's a good question, and if we had more time I'd talk more on it, so thank you very much for that.
Great. We need to know more about this. Hi, Simon. This is from Paul Atkinson. Hi, Simon. I noticed the microchipping agenda is in full swing, with volunteers acting as guinea pigs to have them implanted in their hands. How long have we got before these become compulsory? Blessings from Paul.
Right. That's a very good question. Most of these people are paid actors who are doing this. They are not ordinary general people. Some are very misguided. But most people have been paid to do it. There's a set fee, I understand. If you're a black person, you get paid less than a white person. If you're a middle class person, you get paid more. If you are a person in media or you are entertainment and you can bring more people to you on YouTube, or then you get paid more money. And the very fact that that's happening is a good indicator of what this is about. They tried this nearly 10 years ago, and they did a dummy run of it, and it did not work. The original adverts, which ran on television, not just YouTube, showed a range of people saying how great it was to be chipped, because now they could turn their lights on and they could open the garage door without having to do anything. Well, you know what? They're welcome to that, because there's more to being human than being able to wave your hand and turn the lights on or open a garage door. Because what there will be in that chip is a secret component that you've not been told, which means when you do something the system doesn't like, they will turn it off. And it won't turn off your life support system, but they will probably turn off your bank account, or they'll do something to give you a terrible migraine, or they'll do something. If you allow a chip in your body, although it is designed from a corporate standpoint or a military standpoint, it is not there to make your life easier. Do you really think that masses of corporations will put chips in your hand so that you can turn your lights on, or you can answer the telephone, or you can open the garage door? There's no money in it for them. Why would they do that? On this planet, at this time, the elite only do things when there's money in it for them. So if there's no money in it for them, there must be another agenda. And that agenda is the controlling of the human race. It's the transhumanism. It's trying to get humanity to willingly accept the fact that robots are better than living creations. Because they haven't got the right to do this to us. But if we buy into that agenda, it's a bit like this meditation. By buying into it, you are giving your agreement. Remember what I've said about the Ouija board? It's exactly the same thing. The Ouija board was not the concept of humanity. The Ouija board was given to humans. Humans then manufactured the board. And whenever somebody uses it, as far as the other side's concerned, you have entered an agreement with them for them to come into your space. In the same way that if you take a chip, then you have agreed to a contract. So I will never have a chip in my body like that. I mean, that's different from, say, something that's a pacemaker or a stent, which is designed to, you know, keep you alive. That's a good thing. But something that is sold by a corporation, and they don't want any money off you, because at the moment I understand these chips are being done for free. Even the Bible talks about the mark of the beast, 666. And you know, to me, this chipping is the mark of the beast. It's exactly what it is. So it's a good question. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okie doke. So where are we? Wolf chat. No, not that one. Not that one. Contact. There we are. White Dragon Society and a famous alternative journalist. What's your opinion about the White Dragons? It's from that.
I don't know who the famous,
well, it's not that famous. Fulford I'm talking about.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never met him. Ben is, it's my opinion, obviously, it's only my opinion. Ben is genuine, in the sense that he really, was and is an asset of the intelligence services, and the information he comes out with is by and large accurate, in the sense that I agree with it. The sources I get come from slightly different, stable. But when I occasionally listen to him, or more likely actually, other people say, do you hear what Ben say? And I say, well, I haven't, but tell me what he says. And I say, yeah, that sounds about right to me. Look, there's a desperate move by some people to start a war in North Korea. This is about White Dragon, Red Dragon gold that's hidden in the north of the country. There's a vast amount of gold which can trace a history back to King Solomon. Now that's not widely known. People done their research probably will know that. There's enough gold out there to give every man and woman and child a helping hand with a bit of money to go out and do something good. The dragons are a bit of a problem for me because they're still into profit. In other words, you could, if you were in that position, you could say to the dragons, I want to, let me bring it back to me. I could go to the dragons, I guess, and say, look, I'm writing, trying to write a book. I want to write a book. No one's publishing it because they're all frightened of publishing my book because they'll find that the establishment will kick them out or what have you. If you were to lend me whatever, then, you know, I could do the publishing on this book. Now, what they would say is, they might just say, go and take a running jump. But if they said, yes, okay, they wouldn't say, here's the money, we support you, we want the truth out there, we think it's really important that everybody has access to this, we're fabulously rich anyway, so what we'll do, we will set up a YouTube channel, or we'll set up this, and we'll just do it for free. What they would say is, okay, we'll lend you this, and this is the interest rate we want back. Now, that's the difficulty I have, because if you are on a path to change and for good, then really we should be putting the need to make profit, to have power behind us. And we should be saying that what really matters here is breaking through decades of lies by people who really have no right, no moral right, to tell us, the citizens, what we should or shouldn't do. And the only way we're going to do that is when, easily, is when people in power with money turn around and say, I'm sick of this life, you know what? I think I'm going to do something positive. Now, that might be sound, people are laughing at me, but actually, if you look at British history, the changes over the last 300 years were not brought about by mob rule. The changes in Great Britain were not brought about thousands of people generally throwing bricks and bottles. They were brought about by people in positions of responsibility who set an example, who turned against their own financial position, their own political class or caste, and said, I'm going to do some good. Think about Florence Nightingale, the great nurse. Florence Nightingale wasn't a woman who came from a very poor background. She was very well spoken. There have been lots of great men who have done things which caused them to lose credibility with their friends and relations, but they set a pattern, and then once somebody does something good, others follow it. So, in terms of the dragons, I would like to see them saying, it's not about profit, it's about spreading truth and change and making the world better. And I haven't seen that. If the dragons could demonstrate that, then they would win my heart. But as it stands at the moment, I'm afraid it's more of the same old story wrapped up in another piece of coloured wrapping paper. So it should be about truth first and foremost. If you've got millions and millions or billions of whatever, yen, pounds, dollars in gold, why in goodness knows name can't you just say, look, we will spend 10% of this to try to help all of the people on the planet who are struggling to hear the truth. And I have had contact, not with the dragons themselves, I have had contact with their spokespeople, and all of their spokespeople are saying that, you know, they can lend money, but there is an interest rate. Well, no, it's not what we're about. So it's a good question. It's a topic that doesn't normally come up, so thank you very much.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Right, Johnny, hi JP, hi Simon, can't possibly say enough about the work you gentlemen do, thank you for all you do. I have many Christian friends and respect Christians, but as you know, not all of us have the same beliefs. I am asking this question for myself, and I realize it may be a delicate subject, so I'll be like those. I often wonder about this because I enjoy watching ghost hunting shows, and at times, a clearing or exorcism is done. When priests or others are doing an exorcism, they always seem to scare off for lack of a better word, the demonic entities by referring to Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of us may not think that Jesus is the Lord or God, then why are the demonic entities so frightened of the mention of Jesus Christ? And why does this work? Why does this seem to work in removing the negatives? Positive vibrations for all from Glenn.
Good question. We won't run away from that. I, in my early days, lived in London in a place called Brockley, which was in Lewisham. So if anybody listening in Brockley, Lewisham, give yourself a cheer. I loved living there. It was a really great place. There was a Catholic priest who told me once that he'd been to exorcism to get rid of a spirit in somebody's apartment. And he said that what happened was that he succeeded in only making it angry, and it followed him all the way back. We call it a priest's house. That's where the priest or the vicar lives. It followed him back and started to haunt his priest's house. And he had to call in two or three other priests from neighboring towns to come and get rid of it. And he never did another exorcism after that again. So that actually is a true story. And it's not about the name Jesus Christ. It's about you. If you believe in yourself, look, if somebody was a murderer or somebody was evil, they would not be able to remove an entity. Not like that. You can't. Now, there are black magicians who are evil, and they can remove entities, but they don't remove them by expelling them. They remove them by doing deals with them. That's the difference. A black magician doesn't banish something. It does a deal with them. If I get rid of you, if you go, what do you want in return? That's how black magicians work. It's a quid pro quo. It's a bit like this Dragon Society. We'll lend you this, but we want this back in return. When somebody calls upon Jesus Christ, what they're calling upon is their belief of Jesus Christ, their concept. And if your concept of Jesus Christ is somebody who was pure, this is really important, somebody who was pure with no staining, no corruption, and you fix on that, you can banish anything because you are showing your intent for the purity, for goodness and truth and justice. And if you hold to that, nothing that's evil can ever stand in your way. But if you are wavering and you're not really confident about it, you know, because, hey, yesterday I held this guy up and stole his money, then you're not going to be able to do it because you're not in that position. Your energy signature, your frequency is not in the right place. So those people who can banish can do so because they are in the right place, they have the right training, the right connections, and the right way of doing it. And those that can't are either learning the process, or they are just a misguided, and they are never going to be able to do it. So it's not the fact that calling on Jesus, it's the concept of your belief in Jesus. And that's what's key. And if you can believe in yourself, then others will believe in you. I couldn't do this show. If I didn't believe in who I was, I couldn't do this show. I can't ask anyone to believe in me if I don't believe in myself. That's not big-headed. That's not me, you know, being big. That's just the position of it. You know, when I talk to people, I want them to believe me. I don't do this for a joke or for a laugh. And in the same way, when I'm faced with entities, then I want them to go. And I believe that I can do it, and I will remove them. And that's what happens. And so, you know, I don't actually call on Jesus Christ for that. You don't need to. Some people call on Archangel Michael, Mother Teresa, whatever. You are calling on your energy understanding of purity, truth, strength, justice and wisdom and love. That's what you're calling on, and that's what's banishing the creatures, because they cannot exist. To them it's a vacuum. To them, it's toxic. To us, it's wonderful. It's peace. It's love and happiness. Now, evil intent can't survive in that environment. And that's the key. And what's really hard is to hold that long enough to mind battle these entities and then get them out. And it's incredibly tiring. You know, people don't appreciate the work. You know, you could do an exorcism, and I've never worked on a chain gang. I've never worked digging holes in roads. But my goodness me, I am as exhausted having removed some evil entity as any guy, you know, digging a hole in a road. And it's just that we don't have a concept of what is capable that's not physical. It's a really good question. Thank you for that.
Good, good. So, there we go. Right, dragons. Right. Ah, good question here from Kathy. Hello, Simon and JP. Thanks for everything. I love you guys. Simon, is there a way to tell if you have been deceived by evil entities that pose as good ones? I read the Conversations with God series a few years ago, and I loved them. They felt real and true. However, I question the source of where they really came from, because some things they said do not jibe with things I'm finding out now. Is there a foolproof way to know if you are dealing with source stroke God or something posing as it? This is really bothering me, and any insight you could provide is much appreciated.
Fine. Good question. Think every individual needs to think what he or she holds most dear. And then ask, if it is presuming that you have a two-way communication with whatever it is, and ask a question that you know the right answer to. Okay? So something that's really important to you in terms of value, truth, justice. I don't mean value as in terms of money. That you know is really important. And pose the question. You could say, what would you do if you were faced with X, Y, and Z? How would you react? And what you're doing is you are going to make a judgment based on their answer. Now, okay, if you're not in a two-way communication and you've just been shown an interview that's written down, he said this, then I asked that, then he said this, then I asked that. What you would do is say, okay, how would I answer to those questions? Some of them you can't because they're off planet and they perhaps don't make a lot of sense. But what you have to do, if I may say so, is that you have to look at all of the answers and look for anything that is anti-freedom, anti-human, anti what you know to be true. Because it's very easy to pick up. You only have to look in the Bible. We've talked about this several times. You know, what loving God kills its people? You know, God sent a thunderstorm down and it rained for, was it, I don't know, 40 days, 40 nights and drowned half the world. Well, what loving God drowns the creatures it's supposed to have made? That just doesn't make sense. So the evidence is there and you just have to be very analytical and say, what is behind this? Now, good things do come forward and good entities, will come and help. And it'd be obvious because the information they're giving, the words they're giving will sound right to you. And then there are bad things that pretend to be good. And at first you get hooked into it and you think that's really exciting. And then as it goes on, you think, I'm being led down the garden path here. And they're trying to lead me down to the flying saucer, or they're trying to lead me to bring in the false messiah. And, you know, step off that path. Step off that path before it's too late. And even at the last minute, you can step off that path and you'll be saved. But if you get sucked in and you get into some form of covenant or some form of contract, it's very hard then in this lifetime to break out of it. So trust yourself. Ask yourself, does it seem right? And you need to do what you've got to do. I mean, there are people who have been in connecting consciousness who have heard somebody bad mouth me. And they believe what that person says. And I say to them, look, you believe what you want to believe. You need to follow your own judgment. You go away. And then sometimes what happens is that months pass and I get an email back saying, oh, I was misled and I'm really sorry. And I say, do you know what? You had the chance. You chose the path you chose. and that's the way it is. So we have to make very sure, because often we only get one crack at this. Ask yourself, ask your soul, be clear and sure, and you will see through it. People who are awake and aware, people who listen to these Truth Movement shows, they are already there. They're aware of it. And if you're writing in, then it means that you're picking up something on a previous piece you've read that means that you think something's not right. Remember, they'll mix truthful information with negative. Not negative information, but a means of trying to move you energetically to a place they want. So they'll give you lots of stuff which seems feasible, seems okay, seems reasonable, yeah, seems a good person. And then they start then to want to do things. It could be that they start printing t-shirts, or they create little groups of people who form a club, and they want you to pay. Incidentally, Connecting Consciousness, there's no fees to pay. I deliberately said there was no admission fees. I don't produce t-shirts or books or magazines or things like that. You know, I don't create a money empire like a cinema. You know, we have a film like Star Wars, and then you've got toys and t-shirts and key fobs and everything, because it's all about the message making money. The message I give is not about making money. The message I give is about freedom for humanity. And you need to watch and look at those people who give messages. But really, there's a huge advertising campaign, money campaign, money making on the back of that. And anybody who's trying to make money on the back of something like this really needs to go and work for a retail. You know, go and sell second-hand motor cars, or do that. You know, you'd be much better off doing that than trying to hoodwink people. So it's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, so question from Uni, I think. Election in Norway in September. Thanks a lot for all your work. I'm very thankful for both of you. I'd like to know if you have any information about the coming parliamentary elections in Norway, 11th of September.
It's very funny. While I was on holiday, I watched a film. I do try and watch films. I enjoy them. And it's called Enemy. Was it called Enemy at the Gate? Oh dear. No, it was called, you know, I can't remember the name of it now. That's why it was so long ago now for me, about 5-6 days ago. I'm going to have to remember this film because I can't remember it now, but it was with one of my favorite black actors in it. Maybe somebody might text me with it in a moment.
Not Enemy of the State?
Enemy of the State. Thank you. See, you're one of my friends and you didn't text me, but you spoke to me. Right, Enemy of the State. And it was written and filmed maybe 3 years before the Twin Towers. And the person I was watching it with, you know, was a group of us. And they picked up that the bad guy, we were seeing his information had come up. You see, he worked actually in the film for the National Security Agency. He was a very high ranking guy in the NSA. And they'd hacked in and they got his resume. And his date of birth was 9/11/1940. So there's another film that was trying to warn people about 9/11. And that's not, people wouldn't pick that up, but this person was very quick with written stuff. So well done you for picking that up. The elections in September, you're absolutely right. My concern, I haven't gone public with it because I've only had one piece of information. And those of you who listen to the show regularly, thank you. You will know that I don't go public unless I get two bits of the same information, but from two different sources. Well, I've only got it from one source, which is there's a planned terror attack just before that. So a planned terror attack in Norway just before the election, because the bad guys are very concerned that the person they want to win might not win. Now, I wasn't going to mention it, and I didn't mention it at the beginning, because I've only had it from one source, but you've asked me that question. So I'm on it. I'm watching, I'm looking, and I'm sure I'm not the only person. So that's the best I can do for you. It's a very important election. Norway is an incredibly important country energy-wise. It's, there are only two countries in the world, you know, that have a sovereign fund. Saudi Arabia is one, and Norway has the other. For those of you who don't know, a sovereign fund is a huge pot of money that's put away for the benefit of the people. That's a bit like what we're talking about, King Solomon's gold. That's basically what that should be. But Norway and Saudi Arabia have money which no government is supposed to be able to touch, is held in trust purely for the people of that country, should they need it. What the United States, under the previous administration, Barack Obama, were trying to do was squeeze Saudi Arabia with the oil prices to make them raid their sovereign fund to reduce that money, and they've been trying like heck against Norway to make the Norwegians spend their sovereign fund. The evil guys in the US don't like the idea of countries having vast amounts of money that they can't tap, they can't get hold of. So Norway is an important country. So yeah, I'm afraid I've given you more information than you bargained for on that one, but I am watching it. Thank you.
There you go. Now it's top of the hour
tea time,
and here's some Todd Rundgren. And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness here with Simon Parks, 20th of August, 2017. It just slipped by, doesn't it? Here we go. This is one of my favourite subjects. Hello, Simon and JP. Thank you both for your time, energy, and love for humanity. I love you both very much. Simon, I was thinking about you saying Putin has a few doubles and Trump only has one due to his size. Can you explain how doubles are created? Thank you.
Right, it's a really good thing. A really good question, I mean. It's actually through agencies, agencies who do modelling. That's how they used to do it. So you might be a guy and you're going to model pants or a nice shirt, or maybe you've got a good head of hair and they want you to model a hairstyle. And these organizations are all over the Western world. And they obviously take photographs of you and they keep you on the books, and you have to update. I understand you have to update your photograph regularly because obviously you change. So many of them are infiltrated and their records are hacked. Much easier now because it's all held electronically. In the old days, they used to literally have to, you know, phone someone up and say, look, we're going to send you a picture. Do you have somebody who looks like this? And that's how they do it. Think of all the ads on television, all the thousands of people in just 1 year who appear on television adverts, who go on stage, who are on theatre, who just carry billboards around. So it's through the entertainment industry that these people and the military are identified. So there are thousands of serving men and women in the United States Armed Forces, and there are people there who will look like somebody, and then they are put forward and told it's a secret mission and they'll get extra pay and this is what they have to do. And that is how they identify them. They're not made. They are just genuine people who then can have plastic surgery, different sorts of drugs. And, you know, that's what they'll do. So they'll look at a person and say, well, you'll pass a 30 yards. So we'll use you for outside shots. You are absolutely the spitting image. You'll do within 6 to 7 feet. So they'll have these body doubles that are varying degrees of reality, and they'll use them in set ways. That's not a clone. Clones are made, and the difference with a clone is some clones don't contain a soul, some do. But a clone isn't designed in the same way as a body double. A body double is designed to confuse the enemy and to take the bullet, although many of those doubles don't actually realize that. But a clone is designed as much more subtle than that. A clone is designed to be part of meetings to fool people, not just, you know, some people, but a large audience. You know, there are some very important singer-songwriters out there who, you know, possibly have clones of themselves or have had clones in the past. It's about manipulation of the masses. So body doubles are not made. They are, you know, altered in terms of surgery to the face and the body, but they're not clones. Yes, nearly every Western leader has some form of body double. The British don't generally do it, but Winston Churchill did. Winston Churchill had some. So yeah, it's a good question. Thank you.
Yeah, and Monty, and I believe Paul McCartney as well. In fact, there's one theory that all the Beatles were replaced in the about 1966.
Okay. I don't know about all the Beatles, but I did say singer-songwriter, and you mentioned the person's name. So when I said singer-songwriter, that's exactly who I meant.
Aha, that particular singer-songwriter. Yes, Fall, as we call him. Anyhow, people are trying to call us. Okay, here we go. Is Bitcoin, this is from A. Maxwell, maybe B. Maxwell, talking about Paul McCartney and Maxwell Silverhammer, and he was the handler who's called Maxwell. Anyway, is Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency currently controlled by the elites? And is this a reference to the 1980 magazine cover of The Economist, with a phoenix rising with a new world currency in 2018? Thank you.
Yes, correct. When you're dealing in technologies, you can not really predict the future like looking into a crystal ball. What you can do is say, this is the level of technology we have now. In 10 or 15 years, we will be able to do this. So why don't we do it? So what they do is they'll come up with a date, and they will appropriate monies from the taxpayer, and they will run black projects to further their own timeline. Now, we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, gold was probably a safe bet. I didn't mention cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin at all, because they're not a safe bet. They're not secure, and they are the choice of drug dealers and arms dealers, and many banks are really unwilling to use them. They are using them because there's so much money now being moved about in Bitcoin. The problem is that the guys who control it are artificially setting the price. So the price of cryptocurrencies, unlike the stock exchange, is not being set necessarily by the amount being traded, but by politics, manipulation. So if cryptocurrencies were truly set by the market, they'd be a lot cheaper than they are. So they've been artificially put forward. The pattern that they want for the future is the world divided into two halves. United States running, this is the Satanists, this isn't the regular guys, this is the bad guys. They want to see the earth divided into two halves, two hemispheres. And basically the United States running one form of cryptocurrency, which is Bitcoin, and then the other half, which would be, you know, China, Russia, etc., running their own cryptocurrency. The problem that's derailed this is that the public have not taken it on board in the same way. Only the very wealthy and those who've got something to hide have actually gone into it. Been a number of independent studies that have shown that it's not a secure system. Big major banks don't like them. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. If that wasn't enough, because the amount of power, energy that it requires is phenomenal. Every so many seconds it has to recalibrate itself to see what the going rate is. It's not just one screen somewhere on a trading floor. All of the different places have to calculate it. And the amount of energy that it's drawing is staggering. I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely shocked at the amount of energy it requires just to operate. And so it doesn't actually become feasible, because remember that Bitcoin was created by the National Security Agency, and he or she who controls the most powerful computers on the planet can manipulate electronic data. All Bitcoin is electronic data. It's numbers running digitally. So if I was sitting at the NSA, yeah, I would be very pleased because I have got the most powerful computers on the planet, and therefore I can control it. That's why people like Russia and China don't really want to deal with it, because it is a government-controlled resource. It's not like the Dow Jones Index or, you know, the British FTSE 100. It's a stock exchange that's not actually run by business people. It is an electronic currency format controlled by an arm of government. So it can't go really much further than where it has. 2018 was scheduled as an electronic takeover, not just in the money, but in many ways. And it was penciled in as the year that many of the liberties that we take for granted were going to be removed, and there would be an electronic switch as we moved from tried and trusted methods into a system which was very alien to us. That hasn't happened, because the human race is incredibly resilient. There has been support from off this planet to slow up the agenda of the bad guys. So 2018 will not be the year that we move to a full automated system. But that was their plan. So whoever wrote that, you're right. That was their plan. Thank you.
Okay, now here's a very, very topical question that will go out of date tomorrow. Simon, from Inspired 369. Simon, how does the eclipse affect our psyches, if at all, and the planet?
Right. You have to appreciate that there's more than one sort of eclipse. There's a solar eclipse, there's a lunar eclipse. There must be other sorts of eclipses, but we always think of an eclipse of the moon, but that's not always the case. First of all, the sun. The sun is not just a ball of heat which keeps us alive. That's about as far as most people in school understand it. But it is a nuclear reaction going on. It's absolutely intense heat, and the heat from that warms us. I don't quite buy into that. I think that the sun is, I do believe it's a star. I call it a star. I think it's absolutely integral to the development of this planet. I don't mean the surviving of the planet. I'm talking about its evolution. That is why when they chemtrail, they spray these new metallic particulates, which are their intention of reflecting back certain light waves. It's those light waves that are playing such a positive role in raising the consciousness and the vibrational frequency of the living creatures on the planet and the planet itself. So the bad guys know the sun. So when we get a solar eclipse, we are temporarily not being cut from source. That can't happen. But we are temporarily being cut from the direct connection with that energy from the sun. And that can make you feel very disorientated, like a vacuum, alone, unsure. And people always put that down to the fact it's got dark. Now, the one with the moon, that's actually more sinister, if I can use that word, because the moon was until quite recently used as a relay station for, I can just say, beaming mind control energy waves. That's very primitive, but people will know what I mean by that. Now, when you get an eclipse of the moon, actually, it's a moment of freedom. And what the elite did was they wanted to stop people connecting with the freedom for that time that the moon was blanked out. And that's why they brought all the sacrifices in around the time of the moon. They wanted to talk about fear, make people scared, to try to take them away from that. Anytime anything can interfere with a negative frequency, then we naturally go back to ourselves, we get our clarity, our vision, and we can think very clearly for ourselves. So all of these things are just steeped in, it's not just a history that a society or a culture has built up, but it's a control mechanism that has been placed in to make people believe that they feel or they think in a certain way when certain things happen. No different from ringing a bell and Mr. Pavlov's dog starts getting hungry because he hears a bell and he thinks it's going to be fed. So when certain things happen, you know, we can be conditioned as humans to think in a certain way. And of course the advertising men have known that for goodness knows how long. And it's just a trick they use. And these tricks, which are originally the preserve of the high priests, passed to them by the Anunnaki, made their way down, as they always do, to the corporations and down. So you're right, people do feel, not everybody, but many people who are sensitive do feel different at eclipses. But as I say, it's either because the system has put something in place to make you think or feel in a set way, because something has cut off. And that's either for a positive or negative reason. But that's why eclipses are quite short. When the moon was put in that position, remember it's not a natural planet, satellite at all. It's a constructed, object. Everything was designed so that it shouldn't hit anything. It wasn't too near to suck the oceans out. It wasn't too far away to have no effect. It was just at the right angle. Remember, it's the only object that doesn't move, so it keeps its far side, not the dark side of the moon, it's the far side of the moon, always away from us. And I get exasperated with intelligent men from academia, from university, who just tip out the same nonsense. And then I say to them, why is the moon the only object, the satellite, the only object that doesn't turn? Why does it just show one face to us? Can you name me any other object that does that? And they can't. So I say, you're an intelligent man. Why have you not questioned this? Why haven't you done research? And they sort of look at me blankly and they think, yeah, why haven't I done any research? And they say, well, because I'm not funded to do that. I'm not required to do that. When I teach my school children or my university graduates, I'm not required to teach that. When I sit my learned papers, I'm not bothered. I'm not asked about that. And if I start asking questions like that, then I shall be stepping outside of what I'm allowed to do. So I always try and question people, and I always try and say, think differently. And that's your answer. So you're on the right track. Things happen. They are planned and they're organized, but we can sometimes break through the control system and connect with what we're supposed to connect for a short time. So thank you for that.
I just saw it. It's huge. Where is it? A big summit. You know, there looks like there's about 50,000 people camped out in this summit where the eclipse is going to be seen. A lot of people are going to be meditating. We are going to have a meditation on Wolf Spirit Radio at starting at 6 o'clock p.m. UK time, which is 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10, 11, 12, and noon Eastern time. So hopefully that is giving you a little time to have a quick snack. And so the eclipse, we're going to have a Frank Jordan meditation. And so the Native Americans are saying, you know, we stay in to deal with the eclipse. It's an inner thing. So we're going to be doing that sort of thing. So.
Look, just go on. The thing is, it's been forecast a long time ago that the energies on this eclipse would allow certain people to use that energies to create something evil on the planet. Ever since the days of Atlantis, when very gifted women were able to foretell the future and look at star charts, for goodness sake, that's why Adolf Hitler had so many of these mystics around him, because he knew, particularly the women, not exclusively so, but they could foresee energy events. And then he would then say, well, is this an auspicious time to invade Austria? Should I attack Russia? So it was always about negative stuff. But that's sadly often the case. We don't generally hear people saying, would this be a good time to open a new hospital? I would like to get a cure for this drug, this disease or that disease. When would be a good day to do that? Why don't we do that? We don't do it because it's all about money and it's about power. It's because the decent ordinary people don't make those decisions. It is about, you know, how can we get an extra sacrifice on? How can we do this? How can we do that? And the 21st, from the energy point of view, has been earmarked, for very bad energy. Now, if people are going to meditate and all they're going to do is to send good vibes, send truth and love, then that is fantastic, and I absolutely support that. I don't want that being hijacked or corrupted by anything else. If we are countering satanic evil energy that wants to sacrifice babies at a greater number over that period than they would normally have done, we want to prevent a false flag, we want to prevent the second coming by fake, a new world order. If we are meditating with a good intent, then please go out and do it, because I will be doing it. But what I said at the early part of the show is that is exactly what sometimes can happen. People will try and use that good energy. That's what the Hadron Collider was about. It used the natural biorhythmic energy of the Earth and tried to use that to give it that oomph, that uplift to do more things. And I don't want any good energy being subverted by anything evil. So be clear what your meditation is, hold true to your path, and you will only achieve good things. So I just felt I needed to say that, JP. Thank you.
Good, good. So, actually, this is almost a private question, but from Richie Allen, of the Richie Allen Show, is asking if you, would you like to appear with David Icke, and he... So.
Yeah, that would be a bit of fun.
Yeah, so I'll pass this message on to you. It's got the email address in there, and I'll just pop that in the chat.
Yep, that's
there.
Fine.
Where is it? There we go. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question.
If you send it to we won't mention any names, but if you send it off to the person, that's right. That would be really helpful, because otherwise it'll get lost in the deluge of stuff.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that in a second. All right, here's a long one. Okay, Simon, according to the Wes Penray papers, once souls go through the grid that surrounds the Earth, they still find themselves inside the holographic universe instead of the real universe they're supposed to be in. Simon, kind of similar to some inmates that have just broken out of prison, but only to find themselves in the prison yard. What are your thoughts on this? The last time I want when I die is to wander around through this holographic universe only to have my soul detected once again by the same evil beings that put me on this prison planet in the first place. My main focus will be trying to get to source with the power of my thoughts, and hopefully it's going to work. I'm the type of person who likes to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. There's Christian from Romania. Hey, Christian.
Right, okay. Romania is a wonderful country. It's got some very interesting things hidden under the rocks. Right, you're accurate, and the West Penry papers are accurate. I think so. I've looked at not all of them. There's just heaps and heaps of them. I like what I read. I have personal memories of much of what's written there. I think that's a tremendous piece of research. I understand this person spent years and years and years bringing it all together. And I salute them for that. Right, the question. To answer that question, I would pose a question which was, well, why are we here? We're here, believe it or not, to experience, and then from those experiences to make decisions. That decision might be, I don't want to make a decision. That decision might be, I'm going to run away from this. That decision might be, I'm going to face this. Well, if it's the third one, which is I'm going to face this, then do we learn from it? If we learn from it, the next thing is, do we actually put into practice what we learned from it, or do we forget? So we're on this planet and this environment to give the souls in our body experience and allow us to make decisions and to grow and to develop one way or the other. No right and wrong, just develop. The environment we're in is a created environment. Choose my words very carefully here, because all the flat earthers now are sort of hoping that I'll say something on a flattish line. We are in an environment which is artificial, designed to give us individually and as a group a seamless experience of sound and vision that we accept as our world and we can interact with. That doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not valueless. Now, when some people can move from one state to the next and they find that the world they're in is still a matrix, or what some people call a holographic universe, the question is, the only place to go after that is source. And those who listen to me know that I consistently say, when your physical body dies, you should either go to your star family or to source. So there will be many holographic universes. There are 12 main verses and goodness knows how many sub-verses. Each verse has its own holographic universe, because there are living creatures in those sub-universes who want to experience. All of this is created by, there are lots of creators, but there is one main creator. So don't focus on the fact that you are in a holographic universe. Focus on how you can learn, how you can live, how you can help people, how you can do good things, how you can get pleasure from doing something to help other people. You can get pleasure from doing nice things, just, you know, that you gain from it, but make sure that you're doing good things to other people. That's what you should focus on, not whether it's a holographic universe or not. And when the time comes, then you can either choose to try to get to your star family or to source. So you can forget the holographic universe. If you want to go back to source, you're going back to that which made you. And that's what you hold in your head. When I am on this planet, in this physical body, I will do my best every day to do good things. And when I do something wrong or something bad, then I hope that I'm strong enough to say, oops, I didn't do that very well. Maybe I need to learn from this, and then I won't do that again, and I'll try and be a better person. And when the time comes and the physical body says, do you know what, I've had enough of this, and then your soul says, oh, time to go, you forget all the holographic stuff and you go back to source and you say, what now? What can I do now? Where can I go and learn more? And that's what we need to focus on. It's a damn good question, and it's really important, because it's like, what's life about? Thank you.
Okay, as a question from Nora, it's actually for me, it's on its way. I've packaged it. It'll be sending to you soon, Nora. This is a piece of shonga. Okay, internet broadcast, entity manifestations. Ooh, sounds interesting. Dear Simon, from Silverspeed, thank you for all you do to help humanity rise and awaken and the sacrifices you have made doing so. You had previously mentioned that there's considerable effort being made to bathe the Earth in broadcasted energy for internet connection from orbital artificial satellites. The core purpose of this was to establish the transmission or manifestation of energetic entities within humans. Is this also to enable the same within others in the animal kingdom? How can we shield or protect ourselves from having such manifestations transmitted us, transmitted into us by such means? Blessings and Godspeed to you and JP.
Right. Good question. The people who are behind this are not interested in the animals. They're not bothered about that, simply because to control an animal doesn't bring them any profit. Animals don't go to work. Animals don't get sick. Animals don't go and pay their taxes. They're not interested in animals. This technology is purely and simply to control the slaves as they see them on the planet. We are all free slaves. You know, in the old days, when people had chains around them, they were not free slaves. And the people on the planet today, by and large, are considered by the evil people as free slaves. So they want to control the free slaves without causing a riot. And the best way to do that was through unseen technology. If a guy stands in front of you with a gun, you see it. You rebel against it. You fight. But if it's unseen, it's radio waves, microwaves, you can't see it. You can't fight against it because you can't see it. So this is why they hit upon this. They also wanted to bathe the planet, and sticking up radio masts, there was a lot of blind spots. It wasn't, you know, the mountains blocked it, etc., etc. So by using satellites, they felt that was the best way to bathe the Earth, and the only people who would escape would be those who were underground bases or had a chip, a certain sort of chip that prevented this from happening. All right, well, we don't want the chips and we don't want to hide underground, so how do we protect ourselves? We have to be very clear that this technology will work on, and I use the word ignorant, I mean it in the true sense of the word, people who are blindly unaware of the reality on this planet. Now, those people will succumb very quickly. Excuse me. They will not even know what's happened to them. But for those of us who are in the truth movement, then you can, this is provided that we let them get this far. You know, this will have to be plan B, because plan A is not letting them do this. That's the bottom line. But that isn't a good enough answer for the listener or for anyone else. You want to know how you can protect yourself. It's an old chestnut, but you can't beat it. First of all, eating organic food, free-range food, drinking water that's as pure as you can get it. We know this works. That's why the big corporations are trying to put so much poison, or at least unhealthy elements, into our food. If it didn't matter, then we would get the most wonderful food. Why are we getting food that's really not particularly good with no nourishment in it? Why did 4 years ago, 4 and a half years ago, why did the Rothschild Foundation start building or funding large factories making vitamins at 6 to 7 times the price that they normally cost, so that only the elite can afford them? Why now is there a network on this planet of elite families buying vitamins from an organization that is financially set up by the Rothschilds? And what they're doing is they are supplementing their diet with not the sort of rubbish vitamins that you buy on the high street, which have probably got very little goodness, but the good quality stuff, which was only ever meant for the rich and wealthy, because that's why it's so expensive, because only the rich and wealthy can afford that. They are supplementing their food because they know that globally the vitamins are being removed slowly but surely, Agenda 21, of course, from the food, so that they stay healthy. Now, people who are healthy resist not just your common cold and your bacteria, but can resist a whole range of attacks. One of the evil attacks is a fungal attack, which we associate, or I associate, with a fourth dimensional entity. And the first thing to do then is to really go as best as you can for the best food, the purest food, and supplement with vitamins. It's really important that you do that. The second thing is your intent. If you believe that you are going to get killed when you cross the road, there's a good chance you will. But if you believe, I am going to cross this road and I am going to be perfectly fine. You know, it's like men traditionally say to women in the family who've got a long journey, you know, well, drive carefully, you know. Why wouldn't they? It's, you know, why wouldn't they? They don't think about it. You know, everything will be fine and we'll do what I do. And if you go out and you're worried about this or you're worried about that, you will bring that on you. So you need to say, I am not going to take on anything negative. And it's harder then for anything that's going to attack you to take hold. And that is your best defense should we fail in preventing this planet-wide sweep. So plan A is to prevent it. Plan B, there's no harm in doing it anyway, generally, it's a very good thing to do, is to ensure that each individual person is up for it. Now, I mean, if it looks that way, then I, and I'm sure others, will start offering, you know, a cost price, which means, you know, sandwich and what have you, psychic defense lessons. It sounds a bit like the film, you know, Harry Potter and Hogwarts. But there are methods that can be taught to people to energetically defend yourself against certain things. We're not at that level because these things haven't broken through. But if these things should actually break through, then I will be one of the first people to run seminars on YouTube. And I will just do it donations. I won't charge because I think, you know, it's got to be something that everyone has a right to. But that is plan B, and I really don't want to talk too much about it because it's like accepting that it's going to happen. So we have a plan A. If that doesn't work, then there's a plan B. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
And, yeah, I would recommend vitamin D3 in capsules. You can get the really high dose these days, 10,000 and 20,000. And they're very, very good for... I sneezed 3 times last night, and my nose was starting to run. I took one of these things, and by the morning, I'm healthy again. So I would really recommend that. No make in particular. So, okay. So here's another slightly awkward one about making appointments. No one would respond to my attempts to make a payment or an appointment. I've been trying for months in various ways. Please address what a mother should do if a child is being targeted for sale, if that is what is happening.
Just a minute, JP. I've got 2 cats just climbing all over me. I very foolishly bought a plate out with a little bit of vegetables on it, and they should go mad.
They want the vegetables, no sausages.
Well, we have a very interesting relationship, the cats and I. I have vegetables, they want to eat them. When they see them, they don't want them, but they nevertheless want to knock a thing off my plate. Right, this woman's saying she was trying to make a payment.
I'll read it. You asked me to make an appointment about cuts on my child. This is a few shows ago. No one would ever respond to my attempts to make a pay for an appointment. I have been trying for months in various ways. Please address what a mother should do if her child is being targeted for psyops, if that is what is happening. It's very distressing to hear you say that it's so important that I need to make an appointment and then that she never gets in connecting. So I think go ahead and repeat the star thing because it's probably worth it.
Yeah, I would suggest in this case, if the child is being targeted by very evil elite people, then I would suggest that the messages, emails are not, I'm not getting them. If it's a person that is, you know, an opportunist attack, well, then the elite don't have any input into it. And so if I don't pick it up, it's because it's been swamped. But if an individual is a targeted individual, then, these people have the resources to manipulate information, whether it's a telephone call or an email, and I would not at all be surprised if your emails have not consistently come through. I've had, you know, an email from people in the past, and I've replied and never got anything back, or so it seemed to me. So it can be intermittent sometimes. I can get one message and then nothing for a while, or suddenly I'll get 6 or 7 come through on Skype all in one go, which may have been 6 weeks old. So same thing applies. Write the word star in the header. As I'm not explaining why that is, because there's a very special reason for this. If you write star in the header, I will get that. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Simon. What's that? This is from Bridget. The question is in regards to the Eye of Ra, or Re. I just came back from a trip to the Middle East, and I noticed that in every souk and many people's homes, there is this eye symbol made into art and jewellery. My husband, who grew up there, explained that people often carry it around or place it in their homes as protection from Iril. I'm confused because my understanding is that this symbol is like the Eye of Horus and is in fact very evil. I thought you would be the best person to ask, is this symbol good or evil? Many thanks for your wonderful show.
So we're making a distinction here between the Eye of Horus and the Eye of Ra. Is that what the person is saying?
There's this eye.
The two.
Yeah.
Well, Ra was a sun god. So is the light, and it's a bit like Lucifer, really. It's where we get the term light from, like that. Well, Americans will be familiar with those who've not just got the $1 coin, with the symbol of the pyramid and the one eye on the capstone shining out. Many people who watch media, famous pop stars, will be very familiar with covering one eye open, one eye closed. Look, some things are never evil, but they're turned into evil. Sometimes a culture is given a symbol as a form of worship. In itself, it's not evil. But if the group of people around it then wish to manipulate the group and manipulate the people, they will use symbols and signs as part of this cult. You know, you're either with the cult or you're not. So it becomes evil. On the planet today, those symbols have become evil. So if we see those symbols, they're not evil in themselves. I have to qualify that in a minute. But they are the products of a group of ancient people who have created a whole myth and culture around them. Now, going back to that qualification, these symbols, when placed in a certain pattern, can activate, it's not magic, it's technology, can activate and bring about certain things. So if you have the capability to make things happen which ordinary, decent people can't understand, then it's given the word magic. But they would know it as science. And so they can imbue these symbols into that interlocking, intermeshing communication system, which is what these things are. They instantly communicate with each other. And so the Eye of Horus is one of the symbols, for instance, on a stargate. They are real. Stargates are absolutely real. And the Eye of Horus will be one of the symbols on a stargate. And there are many things, and that's why the Eye of Horus appears on the United States $1 bill, because it's a magic spell, and it's about trying to control money through a symbol. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
So, sorry, I just need to had to mute these speakers first. Good question. Right, here we go. Very short one here, presumably from Germany. Dear Simon, thanks for answering our questions. Is Merkel as delusional as Hitler was?
Well, nobody's ever asked me that one before. No. Right, first of all, Hitler wasn't delusional. He only became delusional or mad between 19 42 and part of 43. I'm going to have to explain that because students of history are going to want to know about it. But let's just first of all talk about Merkel. Merkel was told by a group of people that she was chosen to lead Germany. She knows that from a young child, a young girl, she was always picked to do the job she's done now. Was she Hitler's great-grandchild or grandchild? Who knows? Not going to get into that debate. But I certainly, at one conference, did raise that topic, and we had an interesting, the audience and I had an interesting few minutes on that subject. She is delusional, I suppose, in as much as she is not her own woman. So instead of ruling a country for what is right and just and proper, she spends too much of her time bowing down to the people who have always ruled the planet for generations and generations. If she was a true stateswoman, she would just turn her back on them and do what was right for the people of Germany. Hitler was never delusional. Hitler was insane, but not delusional. What Hitler was a character who was infected by an entity from the Spear of Destiny. In actual fact, he was when he was in Vienna in the early days, and went to Britain, where he was given an alternate personality. Remember that Hitler was and used the term legally and technically, a bastard son, and that's a technical term, it's not a swear word, of one of the Rothschilds. And he was always identified as somebody who could be very useful at some point. Remember, what wars do is make people spend money. And if you are selling oil, as the Bush oil company was, or you're making armaments, you need a war between two countries or more countries, because what do they want? They want oil and bombs and bullets and all the rest of it. So you make a huge amount of money. And it also weakens countries. You can destroy countries, not by bombing them, but by overrunning them, so that you still retain all the infrastructure. You still retain the land to grow crops. That's why we won't ever have a nuclear war, because why would you have a nuclear war? There'd be nothing to have. That's why they officially banned the neutron bomb, but in reality, of course, they made them hand over fist. And for people who are not sure, a neutron bomb is a device that explodes with maybe half the force of the equal kilotonnage of a nuclear weapon, but within about a few days, the radiation is so reduced you can actually go in there. That's the difference, and it leaves buildings standing. So they realized with the neutron bomb that this was probably going to bring about a war. And so they banned them. But of course, what all these major countries did was just make them anyway. So, I guess that's my answer, really.
Great. All right. Put on serious, because this is, a very, so, from, Preston, dear Simon, quote from your CC show of 4th June 2017. If decent, ordinary, wonderful, upstanding individuals understood what paedophilia really was in terms of its construction and its control and its organization, they would be shocked to the core. I hope this information comes out as soon as possible. I think that now is the time wholly to divulge this method of organization and control. For instance, I know that paedophilic practice is applied as a mechanism in order to ensure political leverage from British politicians, intelligence and security services, and other senior civil servants. For how many decades do you think this has been occurring? What roles do women play? Do women merely aid and abet these heinous crimes, or do they get involved in the acts itself? Additionally, besides the obvious problems in Catholicism and the Church of England, please mention any other religion that made paedophilic activities possible behind closed doors. Thank you for your good work, Narayan. Do you want me to break that back down for you?
Yeah, first question, please.
So the first question is how long, how many decades do you think the Secret Services cover-up thing has been occurring?
Right. in the modern history, in the modern times, the concept of a secret intelligence service is relatively new. We band about things like CIA, NSA, NRO, MI5, MI6, but they are relatively recent. Before that, you had a group of people who were tasked with preserving the status quo. And if you go back and back in history, you get what you would call the high priests. There was always a group of people whose job was to maintain their own jobs. Because if the system changed, they wouldn't have a job, would they? So their job is to keep their jobs and to keep the system. I have something, that person doesn't have anything. I'm on the sidewalk, you're in the gutter, we're going to keep it that way. And that is how it's always been. And as society has become more complex, technology's advanced, then these organizations have had labels, and they've had access to more money, and they've had to come out of their palaces, they've had to come out of their offices, and they've had to mix to a certain extent with the people. So they've had to go from being very covert to being less covert. Since the 1920s, there have been, in Great Britain, blackmail operations with gay men. It was only in the 50s that the paedophilia thing retook off. If we were to go back 2,000 years ago, paedophilia wouldn't have the same effect on the audience. Let's say Babylon, ancient Babylon, whereas the Bible would talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and what was going on. The ordinary public was so immune at that time that it wouldn't have that great shock. You couldn't blackmail somebody by that. You got them by giving them huge amounts of gold coins. That was how it was done. So now it's a lot cheaper to get someone involved in some ritualistic evil, which doesn't cost you anything, and you just take photographs and videos, and that doesn't cost you a single gold coin. And then because that person's gone into public office, then you've got them for as long as they're in public office. So in the 1920s was when the blackmail really took off. I'm not saying it's when it started, but it's when it's really took off. The 1950s is when the paedophilia and the satanic connection took off, and it just grew incredibly from then. Okay, what was the next question, please?
Okay, so the next part of that question is,
it's about, the role that women play.
Role do women play, and do women merely aid and abet these heinous crimes, or do they get involved in the act itself?
Well, we're assuming this is a satanic situation. I would imagine that's probably what we're looking at. Right, the women that would take part in this are women who have responsibility within the cult. So you have, depending on what's going on there, you would have trainee, not witches, that's not the right term here, but you have trainee individuals. The highest woman within this group is the grandmother. Now, we talk in Great Britain about our grandparents, grandfather and grandmother, and what we mean is, you know, our mum or dad's mum or dad. But what they mean is the word divided into two, grand, as in the biggest, top, and mother. So the big mother, the first mother, the top mother. And I did a talk 6 years ago now, where I showed the hierarchical control within that system, and I showed the jewellery and the marks that these particular women would wear, and it was like a teardrop. So three teardrops was a grandmother, and then two teardrops and one teardrop. It's like a rank. You might have like one stripe, two stripes, three stripes. So those women have a set role to play within that evil act, and they are willing participants because the cult that they belong to them is more important than anything else. Literally, that is what they live for. So in that instance, those women are active and they play a key role within that particular happening. Now, other women can be traumatized and mind split, and their alternate personality can come out, and it is their alternate personality that will make that woman do evil things. And then afterwards, that alternate personality goes back, and that person has no knowledge of what they've done at all. I know that's incredible, but that's how it works. So basically, if you are one of these evil people running one of these, in charge of one of these groups, you can't have somebody running around saying, I don't want to do this, I resist. So they make sure that these people have no free will in the matter. So, to my knowledge, most women who take part in these things are either totally willing or they're out of it through drugs and mind control. They have no idea what they're doing. So that, I hope, answers that question. There was a third question.
Well, we're out of time, though.
Oh, are we? Again? Okay, all right.
Well, you're quite on a roll today. Thank you very much, Simon. Any final thank yous and goodbyes?
Just, you know, what I say to everybody, that you just keep your guard up at the moment. As we begin to go into fall, into the autumn, we should begin to see some things unraveling now. Good luck with the meditation tomorrow. Make sure that you know what you're meditating for. Be clear in your mind. And if you have good intent, you can only create goodness. Thank you. Thanks, JP. Thanks, everybody.